You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, and maybe even good evening. How are you, listeners, here at Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are? I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and this is The Father's Quilt, brought to you here every Tuesday and Friday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:30 each and every week. And as you know, this is a live prayer call-in line, so please, if you have some comments, questions, some prayer requests, whatever you wish, please don't hesitate to call us here in Toronto at 416-245-1534. And if you please, would you like to email us and tell us how the ministry is coming along for you? Are you enjoying it? Have you felt encouraged and inspired and comforted? We so hope you do through our intercession of our Blessed Mother. Call us and email us at Quilt, Q-U-I-L-T, at radiomaria.ca. Well, dear listeners, let's begin with a Hail Mary, and then we'll get on with our show. Ready? Bow your heads. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Amen and amen. And we so hope and we know that our Blessed Mother is here in our midst and encouraging us and giving us all that we can possibly tell you. That last week we spoke with a dear friend of mine who comes from St. Mary Immaculate Catholic Church in Richmond Hill, Ontario, Canada. And he is our deacon. Deacon Joe D'Amico. I almost forgot his name. I see him every Sunday. You'd think I'd remember. But anyways, that shows you my age is coming through. That's called more than a senior moment. I've had too many of these senior moments. They're scaring me. Anyways, we did talk about the caregiver, and we talked about Deacon Joe's journey. As you can recall, Deacon Joe's journey with his mom, and, you know, in terms of the impressions that the medical profession, how they viewed an aging parent and you know, the seriousness of it or the lightheartedness of it all in terms of how serious they took it upon themselves to say, you know, this is someone's mother, but rather it's a person and it's a patient and next. And that's the feeling I probably got. I don't know how you did, but those of you who are out there today, as we allow our deacon now to share the conclusion of this powerful journey, we certainly understand and feel for you who are caregivers, who are maybe in the role of being cared for, and you are at a loss, and you're not sure, you know, about different things, and you need prayer, or you yourself who require strength, then please don't hesitate to call us at 416-245-1534. I am sure Deacon Joe would love to join you in prayer and bring your petition to our Blessed Mother. And so now we welcome Deacon Joe, and if you see him across this room here, He's come dressed in a three-piece tuxedo.
Sure.
He's got all kinds of, he's got a sweatshirt on and jeans and work boots. Deacon Joe, what were you doing today?
Well, last week I came all dressed up and I realized that was for nothing. Oh. But anyway, that's the beauty of radio. You come as you are. So that I'm going to come with my soul all dressed up today with all my prayer intentions all at their finest. That's how I'm presenting myself here today.
That's wonderful.
And as I jokingly say to people who recognize me on the street but who are not quite sure who this guy is, I said, "Yes, you know me. It's Deacon Joe undercover." Okay. And that's really where the best ministry comes from.
Right. So as you remember, dear listeners, Deacon Joe left us with a cliffhanger. Remember? Deacon Joe, can you remind us of that cliffhanger?
Yes. Of course, I was pouring my heart out about my mother now being in long-term care, how I was very, very distressed, along with my entire family at the situation, the uncertainties of things that are going to happen, about trying to understand routines and how medicines will be adjusted, and even her ways of mobility would have to change, that because she was a little shaky with her walking, her balance, then, you know, the a very, very beautiful wheelchair, let's put it that way, was they insisted that we purchased one. And I could see, and I totally understand why now, because of her safety. I know a fall would be so detrimental to the whole process.
Mm. So Deacon Joe, can I interject you? So you're talking about the wheelchair. Is it the wheelchair or the walker?
It's actually a wheelchair now. Okay. She did use a walker.
And who was it, Deacon Joe, that perceived this as, I don't know if I really want to do this? Is it you?
I'm not sure if I really wanted to see her be dependent in a wheelchair.
Right.
Because it's another notch lower in the dignity level for someone who's been able to manage, yes, on their own, to, you know, with a little bit of difficulty to use a walker. But, yes, you know, the reality sets in that the clock is still ticking and the aging process still continues. And, you know, it's hard for me. There's a 36-year difference between my mother and I, and I still, this is my mom. What are we doing here? You know, it's, mm-hmm, no, she is so independent. Don't do this. So these are the things that you have to come to grips with. And it can be like, you know, somebody putting a piece of ice down your back, but trying to get a grip on things.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Deacon Joe, because you're talking about, you know, the psychological impact is you as a caregiver, and the leap that you have to take of letting go of what you know. As what this is now, as I've heard this term before, as the new normal.
Right. That's a very good point. You put it well, Christina. So let me just jump back into the story a little bit. And as I remember, there's some distress going on in the family, and myself, I think, you know, within my family, I'm the one who melts all the time, unfortunately, because I say that I see things through a different set of eyes. I take in the whole picture. I see other residents there, and my heart goes out to them. And, you know, so here we are in this institution now, and coming to grips with this new change in our life. And as you remember, I'd mentioned as I was leaving the lobby one night, I was in so much distress that I just called somebody over who was actually visiting his mother. And I asked him, I said, "You have to sit down with me and you have to do it right now." So I ordered him into the vestibule of the building and had him sit down on a bench. I said, "Talk to me." Mm-hmm. And remember my statement from last week, I said, the minister needs to be ministered to.
That's right.
Right. And that was something that was actually a little bit of a turning point for me. So as I, with this wonderful man we've become friends now, and very supportive both ways, he took me under his wing. So after that, I was able to get a grip on myself, and I remember sitting in my prayer room in my home. Now that my children have moved out, I have a prayer room now. And so I remember staring at the crucifix and just looking so intently, meditating on the crucifix. And I started to think, I said, wow, look at the things that are happening here. Look at the similarities, the motivation in my life here to really contemplate what's going on right now. Where am I? Who am I? How is this changing me? And how can I be a better caregiver, even though I am removed a little bit, a caregiver, and every time I come to visit. So I was staring at the crucifix, and I was inspired by the love of Christ that was there, who sacrificed himself for us to bring us to eternal life, to be the expiation of our sins, to take on the sin debt of the entire world, that our Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that he gave all of himself for us. And I'm there, my gosh. I started thinking about my mother, and I said, this is my mother's mantra, is that she is, in her own way, is doing the very same for us, that she's given of herself. Even in these times of being at the age of 93, she's still giving, she's still worried, she's concerned, she notices you're tired, she asks you not to come so often so that you can get some rest, so that you don't become ill and something terrible happens. The love of a mother, the love of Jesus Christ. And then I thought about it even more with the backdrop of Easter in my mind. And I said, oh my gosh, here we go. I'm going to take it a step further. It's the love of the Father. The love of the Father to give his only begotten Son for love of his children. He gave everything that he had in his Son for us. So we're magnifying the levels of love, a mother's love, magnified to the love of Jesus Christ, magnified even higher to the love of God Almighty for our lives. That was so moving to me. And it inspired me even more. The word love inspired me even more, so that going back to the long-term care facility, I stopped looking within, and I started looking out at what I saw. I would make sure that I would go over to those who I know that their family members are not there very often, and I know that even the touch of my hand, even to give them a handshake or a pat on the shoulder, or just give them even 30 seconds of my time to ask them how they're doing. You know, I remember one fellow at the long-term care, he wears a bib sometimes or a towel to catch some of the drooling that might be coming out. And I would go over there and I would pick up his towel, and I'd make sure that it was in the proper place so that his dignity would be maintained, to know that he is not forgotten, that he is loved by God, even loved by God through one of God's instrument, a deacon of the church. And it's not done because I want somebody to see me doing these things. I know my duty. I know what I am to do is to love all, to live in charity for all. That's what I came to understand, Christina, that how important it was for me to continue ministering to the people that, you know, basically I'm there for my mom. But I know that I have to be more, I have to have a greater outreach. I have to, for my own sense of identity, to be able to go out there and to bring the love of Jesus Christ to everyone that I meet.
And that, you know, so beautifully said, Deacon Joe, is the answer to call. It's the answer, the call to God, to serve God as best as we can. And you know, we were talking with Jeanette from the palliative care last week, and she was saying that how important it was for her to come in, because she felt this was her duty, her answer to God's coming, come to me and, you know, to serve me. And this is how we are serving. And you are serving others and ministering in others. And your demonstration, as you said, you know, you're not there to prove to anyone anything. You are there in the presence of the Holy Spirit and saying, Jesus, I just want to follow you. I don't know. I'm not perfect. I have many questions and I'm scared and I have doubts and I'm angry and I'm sad and I'm all these things. But Lord, you know, I bring it to you and you help me through this and you allow me to minister to others. And God gives you the strength. You know, I remember, you know, in Bible scripture and when Moses said to Jesus, you know, how do you expect me to go to the Israelites and tell them to pick up and to leave this place that they know is that's horrible, but to follow me? And God said, you know, the Lord said, you will speak, but what will come out of your mouth is going to come from me. And that's exactly what's coming, what I hear today. I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, Deacon Joe, through you to say, you know, we all have to answer God's call. We are all called to be disciples of Jesus, to serve him in any way. We don't have to pick up a placard card and start demonstrating in the city and causing trouble, but we can definitely have a voice, and our voice and our thoughts and our mind, may it be filled with the Holy Spirit so that what comes out only the good, and to serve God as best as we can. And that's what you're doing. You're answering God's call. So it's so wonderful that you have built up this strength and this, and that only comes through the grace of God, the resiliency, the perseverance, the stamina to keep on keeping on. It's not a difficult thing. It's a difficult journey. Oh my gosh. You know what? It's just not my day today. Okay. What can I say? But, you know, it's also, you know, I'm sitting across from Deacon Joel, and unfortunately, I haven't experienced this yet. And yet I'm just at the tip of the iceberg with my mom, seeing, you know, that maybe she may require a walker. So we're at that step. And yet I can see that food planning is becoming an issue and she's not sure what to eat. So a woman who worked in the restaurant business and could create menus and create beautiful meals is at a loss. She's not sure what to do and how to cook it. And I forgot how to do this. So here are the early signs that I'm seeing myself in the journey of being a caregiver for my mom. So Deacon Joe, at this point, what could you offer our listeners, you know, in terms of whether they're, especially focus on our caregivers. What would you like to say to them at whatever stage they're at this point, to offer some kind of encouragement?
Well, Christina,
I hate to put you on the spot.
That's okay, and we're going totally unscripted here, so it's yeah. That's all right. We had a prayer before we started today, and we'd asked the Holy Spirit, "Hey, could you just please take over today?" So, in light of your question, that what I'd offer to the caregivers right there, right now, in our listening audience, is to start to practice patience, to start to understand that you are not in total control of the situation. You can control the day-to-day activities, the people that you require to come in for doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and specialist appointments, whatever is required for mobility, to be prepared for that. You know, like, you know, when I heard Christina just say, and we're thinking about a walker for my mother, and I said, oh my gosh, that was 4 years ago for me. And introducing the walker. But if we just look, if we are able to look at the whole situation and to understand one thing, and hopefully this helps people to put this into perspective, is that there are billions of people in the world who would gladly trade places with you right now. Now that's something to think about, is that we are, you know, when we're in our situations, but we are blessed because we have support. Because in Canada, you have a universal health care. In other parts of the world, there's nothing. when I was in Italy some 6 years ago, I had visited a cousin who was dying in hospital, and I went there with my expectations of the Canadian hospital system. And I tell you, I walked in the doors, and I had to use the bathroom, and I noticed that there was no soap, no toilet paper, no towels. And I went to visit my cousin in a room of, it had to be eight people with their loved ones draped over the end of their bed, because they are the caregivers. They are the PSWs for their loved ones. They would sleep on the floor. I know it sounds horrendous. And there was a nurse on the floor and a doctor that was able to come in daily, very briefly. So I can't express how blessed we are here. And that's in Italy, which is it's a first world nation. And how blessed we are here in Canada to have these things available to us. Now, I know that there's different severities, different levels of care, different layers of desperation. I get that. I totally get that. But I say live in the moment. Live, enjoy your time together. If you're able to speak to each other, great. If you're not able to communicate, if one is not able to communicate, enjoy your ministry of presence. Let your heart do the communicating for you. It speaks the same language and it's universal. So I'm just gonna. I'm kind of watching my time here because I'm kind of new to. I'm kind of new to all this, folks. Mm. But I just wanted to finish up with my story about the long term care. What had happened after my realization of the ministry of service. Okay, to be there for more than just your loved one. And what was that was creating was a home-like environment is what you're doing. So I know that every night I bring my mother down to the main lobby, and every once in a while somebody would stop by with their loved one and we'd sit and chit-chat. Well, that little group grew so large that it looked like a party there every night. And I know my mother just loves it when she speaks with other people, and I watch her in action as she's consoling the other family members who are in distress, as she talks to them about love and about acceptance, as they accept her, how she accepts them in their lowliness. And I'm watching all of this go on, and I came up with an idea, and I know this was an inspired idea. I know it was. So I approached the management of the long-term care, and I said, listen, I have an idea. You have all these groups, you have family committees, you have this committee, that committee. I said, well, what about something for the loved ones, the caregivers, the ones who have their mothers, their husbands, their sons and daughters who are in long-term care? Where's their support? So I offered the idea of a family support group. And I'm laying at the feet of Corporate Canada here, this idea of reaching out to the non-paying customer, as they say. At first it was, oh, that's really nice. Thanks for your idea. We'll let you know. I don't think it's a good idea. About a month and a half later, I had a call from one of the social workers there. They said, Joe, would you come back in again and pitch that idea to us one more time? So I told them what my motivations were to, you know, be there for the family, to support each one, to help them through very difficult times, as that gentleman did for me that night. So I wanted to offer something like that. And they loved the idea. They were willing to go. The management were on board with it. And we set up the date to have our first family support meeting, and I was just so excited
That's
about
wonderful
it.
Wonderful.
It was
news.
So great, Christina. I loved it. Yeah. And then we had the meeting with all the bulletins and posters everywhere. Family support meeting. Come on, come out and meet one another. It's gonna be fabulous. And I had one person come out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One person who was just wanted to tell me all about their life story. And I was not discouraged.
No.
I was not discouraged. Mm-hmm. The following week, the people that I knew from my friends from the lobby, they were so sorry that they missed it. So then at the next meeting, we had 10 people We had a very good showing, very good turnout, because you have to remember that, you know, people will hold back. Like, you're not going to know people's true emotions or true feelings about a subject. It's like peeling the onion one layer at a time.
Yeah.
So it's doing very well, and I hope and I pray that it continues on, and it'll be done according to God's will. If it's no longer required, then so be it. Mm. But I know that we're on the right track.
Now, before we close pretty soon, as time is of the essence, right? Oh, we have right. Thank you, Alex. Alex Diaz, our production engineer, is indicating a 3-minute warning bell.
Okay, good.
But what we wanted to ask you, Deacon Joe, for those who are listening, and we thank you, precious listeners who tune in every week. Thank you for being with me. You are so encouraging to me having you here, and I certainly hope that you've gained a lot through Deacon Joe's testimony today and his concluding testimony. Deacon Joe, as I'm asking live, if there is a listener out there who would like to contact you in terms of whether you could come and speak to their group or whether they can just share what they're going through as a role of a caregiver, just a sounding board even, or an agency you would recommend or something, can they contact you?
Well, yes, you are putting me on the spot, Christina.
Your phone number is.
The whole world will have it then.
No, but what they could do is they could contact me here at Quilt.
There.
Right.
Are you okay with that?
All right.
That's
right. So if you, dear precious, sweet listeners, if you do have a question, a concern about caregiving, you're in the midst of it, you're struggling, you have questions, you have concerns, maybe you yourself are being cared for and you're not sure, maybe you don't have the support you need, do email us or call us. Even at the station itself, I do believe the station itself, you can call at 416-245-7117. You could call us at the station and leave us your name and phone number and tell us that you are listening to Deacon Joe D'Amico's testimony and you have a question. If you prefer email, then email at Quilt, Quilt, at radiomaria.ca, and I guarantee you that I will forward those messages and prayer requests, whatever you have regarding caregiving, to our Deacon Joe D'Amico. He would be very happy to answer you and help you as best as he can. But we are certainly of time is of the essence. And so thank you, precious listeners. We certainly can't thank you enough for supporting Radio Maria. As you can see, these wonderful shows that we bring to you, we are here to serve God as best as we can. And, you know, we're not perfect, are we? We're all with fault, but we come with our love for Jesus to follow him. So in that light, we are asking now Deacon Joe to lead us in prayer as we close our program.
Okay. Please bow your head for God's blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we bring before you the petitions of your children here today, those who may be struggling with care issues, whether they're the recipient or the giver of care. Lord, we ask for your consolation, for people to come into their lives who can help them with the answers, to help them to be able to make amends with what's going on, to understand that even in these desperate times that this is your will for their lives. And through this, you know, through this moment of being in the crucible under the fire, that only good can come from this. Help us to be patient, Lord, to watch your will come to fruition. And Lord, help us to never lose our faith in you, that you love us, that you care for us, that you only want only the best for our lives, and to help us with that, your plan of eternal life. In God's most holy name, we pray, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Deacon Joe.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Just single.